Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jerry Dulac in a few moments, but first our play-by-play call of the day.
Third down and goal, 10th play of the drive.
And by the way, you'll see Miles Sanders tomorrow night because he will be the one announcing the Eagles' second-round pick, which is the pick Miles was a year ago with Philadelphia. With that, we bring in someone I consider to be a friend I have tremendous respect for from Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Steelers Nation, Jerry Dulac. Jerry, to you and yours, we sincerely hope all are safe.
Well, Steve, all good here. Everyone is safe. Same with you. I always a treat to chat with you. And I know we all just hope at some point in time we could get back to some sense of normalcy. I know normal's a long way down the road, but I think we'll all appreciate it a whole lot more. But the best we can do is go one day at a time, one week at a time, and, you know, stay as safe as we can.
So true and well put. Because of the circumstances we're in, could we see a little different draft tonight across the board only because maybe with no OTAs and things like that, that maybe some teams may think more about who can play as quickly as possible?
Well, I think that's a good point, Steve. And I think you, you might look at guys who, if you think a guy's going to have the benefit of OTAs and the benefit of training camp, and you would like that guy to contribute, then chances are you're probably going to lean, I would think, maybe to a bigger program, a Power 5 school, a productive player, a guy with a higher ceiling. If you're looking for help right away, maybe they're just a little reluctant to go that way this time. I think that could have an effect. Look, there aren't going to be any OTAs. I do not expect preseason games. I think, Steve, what's going to happen is I really believe, and I don't know this, but I believe that I think the NFL is going to be college football this year. I think they're going to have a 3-4-5 week training period, whatever that is, conditioning, get the guys ready, maybe a scrimmage, with the idea of targeting the regular season. I say that because I don't see them playing preseason games. I think it'll be a little too early. Certainly they wouldn't have fans for sure then, I couldn't imagine. So I think that's the way that's the way this is going to unfold for the NFL season this year. No preseason games and just like a college football preparation leading up to week one.
And that's a really fair point. I can see why you'd say that. The Steelers don't have a first-round pick because he's already playing for them. And that Minkah Fitzpatrick. When you look at a deal like that and what he is, because he's got more time left in his contract, what kind of deal long-term is that for the Steelers because they've already made it?
Well, whenever you can get an all-pro player in the first year of your draft, you're doing pretty darn good no matter how you slice it. And, of course, that's what they got with their, quote, number one pick in Minkah Fitzpatrick. We saw the immediate impact he made in the first couple weeks, turning the ball over, taking it away, forcing turnovers. And it pretty much continued throughout the years. There's no question he was a stabilizing force in the back end. And, they moved up last year in the first round to number 10. I think they moved up 11 spots, which is a huge move to get Devin Bush. And then they make the trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick, which proves that, they knew when Ben went down that they were going to have to solidify their defense. But they made the steps to make their defense better. And then, of course, they put the franchise tag on Bud Dupree because they want that defense to remain intact. And, you know, Steve, they're never going to admit this publicly, they feel that the window's closing. But they know they got probably just two more years with Ben, and we'll see how he comes out of this elbow surgery. And so I think they know they need to make the proper moves now to make a run, which they haven't been able to do in about 4 or 5 years. So I think Minka Fitzpatrick was a big part of that, and I think that was part of the thinking. You know, this is a team that 8-8, the sky's falling. You know, that 8-8 is yeah. bad news for this organization. a lot of teams in the NFL would love to be 8-8, not them. So they certainly, you know, they don't make panic moves, but they do what is necessary to be 11-5, 12-4, and be back in that AFC title game picture, in the Super Bowl picture as well. And I don't think they're that far, as long as they could get number 7 back to where, you know, where he's fairly good. And right now there is nothing to suggest that he won't be that way. Everything right now looks like he's on schedule to be okay for week one, whenever week one is. Week one of the regular season, that is.
Right, exactly. And it's interesting that 8-8, where the sky is falling under the new playoff format, would have allowed them to have made the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Yeah, each of the last 2 years, actually. I mean, because they went down to the final week of the season. So, yeah, they would have been part of it. And you know, 2 years ago, I think they had they felt a little bit better about it, one, because they had Ben. But, two, they were playing a little better at the end of the year. Last year, they finished with 3 straight losses and didn't have Ben Roethlisberger. But their defense was better. Hey, all they want is a chance. They just want to get into the tournament, as they say. And, you know, we know that they've had a lot of success there, obviously. And, again, I don't think they're very far away at all, Steve.
Is this a draft for the Steelers where they're shoring up depth, or is there a couple things they should do on day two that would be important to make a step forward?
Well, Steve, I don't think there's much question that their first pick, they have the 49th overall, 17th in the second round, will be and should be a skill player. And by a skill player, I mean a playmaker. You know, the final 10 games last year, they only scored 10 offensive touchdowns. They were the only NFL team to not score 30 points in any game last year. I mean, that's a surprising stat for the Steelers. Now, I realize a lot of that was because Ben Roethlisberger wasn't there. But look, no matter how much there's addition by subtraction when you get rid of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, the reality is those are two all-pro, big-time productive players. And when you go into a season for the first time without both of them, you're just not easily going to replace that production. And I think the Steelers saw that. Then you throw losing Ben on top of it, and you got what you got last year. They need, while they have some good young wide receivers, you know, with James Washington, Deontay Johnson, and Juju Smith-Schuster, they need a playmaker, somebody who can score points, catch the ball, catch and run with the ball, or just run with the ball. Maybe a kick, you know, who's also a return guy. I think you'll see them try to target that type of player. And I know I just described KJ Hamler.
Yes, I know.
But I think that, and there are several of those guys in the draft, Jalen Reagor, Brandon Ayuk at Arizona State, LaVisca, you know, Chenault at Colorado. You have, you know, 4 or 5 of those guys who could be available to them in the middle of the second round. And to me, that's what they need most, and I believe that they are targeting most with that second pick.
I've always felt that the draft has been set up by what you do in free agency. If you feel like you're dressed in a free agency, there's no need to draft. And how do you think the Steelers set themselves up in free agency with a couple of moves they did make?
Well, the one in particular, I think, was one assuring up tight end. And they, you know, for years, Steve, they they like to use two and three tight ends when Bruce Arians was the offense coordinator, when Todd Haley was the offense coordinator. And even when they had Jesse James, another Penn Stater, 2 years ago, they used him quite a bit in tandem with Vance McDonald. Well, they got away from that last year because they really didn't have, you know, they brought in Nick Vanette early in the season, but, you know, after camp.
Right.
And so they really didn't have two guys. The number of snaps for the tight end dropped dramatically. So I think, one, they wanted to get back to some of that, and two, you know, they got a guy like Eric Ebron, who's a big guy, 6'6", athletic guy, who they can flex out. So that gives them a tall receiver to go with Juju. So they not only took care of the tight end position, they took care of the big target need, if you will, or desire. And again, that leads me back to the type of receiver they would want. Is, I'm not going to say Antonio Brown, who wouldn't, but that type of elusive, quick, sharp, out of the break, catch the ball, make plays after he catches it. I think that is the type of guy that they will be looking for in this draft. And I think the signing of Ebron in free agency set them up to be able to do that. Otherwise, if they don't sign the tight end, I think tight end comes into play, even though there's not a lot of them. Tight end would come into play with that second pick, and certainly by the second round pick, and certainly by their third round pick.
I also thought with the Ramon Foster situation, I thought signing Stefan Wisniewski gave them a good solution, a temporary solution there.
No question, Steve. And what that did is that allowed them to, and I do believe they will select a guard center, but it takes away the need to do that early.
Yep.
But again, I think, you know, to go back to your first question, I think without training camp and without OTAs, it's going to be hard to expect, say, if you don't sign Wisniewski, to go draft a guard or, you know, who's going to come in and play right away without spring practice and without, you know, preseason games. So I think that was a nice signing. For you know, whether it's 1 year or two, I think it's an upgrade over Ramon Foster.
Yes.
You know, I don't think they're signing Quentin Nelson when they do that, but they're signing a dependable guy who started on Super Bowl teams. Not to mention, as you well know, a great guy. So
yep.
I think that allows them to draft a guy, third round pick, maybe even fourth round, and have him watch, you know, learn for a year, get him in there, rotate him in there. And have them play in another year or two down the road.
It was interesting you're talking about, you know, a college style, a training camp to then get into playing games right away. What about the possibility of this long, long, wonderful relationship the Steelers have had with St. Vincent College in La Trobe? What could this mean to that?
Yeah, you know, Steve, I think that's coming to an end. Let's put it this way. It's going to be put on hiatus for a year. I can't see, as you know, well know with the college climate, so many schools already deciding not to have summer school. I think, you know, obviously there's several reasons for that. One, they, you know, at the time, they're not prepared to say we're going to do that. But two, I think they all have their fingers crossed that, okay, no summer school, but we'll get ready for the fall because, let's face it, I mean, that's what they all want. And so I can't imagine St. Vincent College being in position to, late July, to bring in 90 players, 20 coaches, how many scouts, how many staff and team personnel, not to mention the media. There won't be any open practices. There wouldn't be anyhow. But I can't imagine putting those people in the dormitories when you're trying to prepare maybe for a fall semester. So I don't think that, if I'm a betting man, I would say there won't be any training camp at St. Vincent College this summer. I'd be really surprised if that were the case, Steve.
And I can't let you get out of here without at least one quick golf question, because obviously you and I just love the sport so much. What are your thoughts on the PGA Tour attempting to get going? I think it's June 11th they want to go at Colonial. No
that
fans.
Yeah.
No fans. Yeah. And also they're talking about Ryder Cup, no fans. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they are able to do it, obviously, better than any other sport. You know, it's so easy to aside from your caddy, it's so easy to have great separation on the golf course.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to have your tournament officials and help that needs to be there. You're going to have some media there, although that would be curtailed too, because I would think a lot of people would think, nah, I don't think I'm ready to go back into that, and I certainly would understand that.
Yep.
I think obviously it's going to be a welcome sight and a welcome relief. You know, I think what's happening too, Steve, and I've thought this for a while, and this is my argument about opening the golf courses in Pennsylvania, and look, I am not one to criticize the governor or any governor who is worried about public safety and the death toll, so I'm not going to sit here and say he's wrong.
Right.
But I do have thought all along that what's going to happen with this pandemic is it's going to become almost as big a mental health issue. And I think, you know, the frustration, you know, my daughter is a freshman at Penn State. And the disappointment and the frustration she felt about not being able to go back to campus and now worrying if she's going to be able to do that in the fall. I mean, you know, she loves it up there. And I don't have to tell you. And so she misses her friends. She misses her professors. And so, you know, I think you fight that battle as well. You know, it becomes very depressing, and you sit inside and you watch, you know, you watch Fox News, you watch CNN or whatever you watch, and you watch the death toll click like a gasoline pump. And
yes.
And it's discouraging, it's depressing, and then you hear about these extensions. And so a mental health respite and breaks, I think, are very important. And I think just even being able to get some live sports back on TV, so long as they can maintain it safely, and I think golf can do it better than anybody, just because of the nature of the sport. I think it's a good thing. But as you well know, I'm sad I missed the Masters.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been 23 in a row for me, and I do not know. Unless there's some quirk in the Steelers' schedule that I do not know either, that I'll be able to get there in November. So that would interrupt my streak, speaking of long streaks.
Yeah. And it would have been the first NCAA tournament for me in 9 years. So, I mean, I can feel for you. I will say this. Jack Hamm and I were talking on the phone last week. We were talking about golf, and I said the governor doesn't understand that when you and I play golf together, we already social distance. I hit it over there.
He's left.
You hit it
right,
over
Gordon.
Here. So, at least he could have some fun and a laugh about it.
Hammer was on a video. I think he did something. I think they showed an old clip with he and Stan Savran a couple weeks ago. And in that clip, he referred to his pal, Mike Wagner, former safety.
Yes.
As I think he said he was very intelligent, is what he said. Of course, Mike's a friend of mine, so I texted him and told him. I says, I see Hammer called you very intelligent. I said, did he confuse you with Mike Webster instead of Mike Wagner?
And I've had the opportunity to play golf with Mike Wagner too, with Jack.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, me too. He's gone on a couple trips with us when we take a Steeler player with some of our radio when we take contest winners and whatnot for the golf show. And Mike's been on several of the trips, and we have a great time. One of these dining. Yeah, Hammer's the greatest too.
He's an awesome guy. He really is. Jerry, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And I hope I cross paths with your daughter here on campus once everything gets rolling again.
Well, Steve, I've told her that, and I says I would, and you know, and she knows, of course, all about you, and then she knows I was coming on the show, and I told her that. I says, hey, maybe when things get going, I says, hey, who knows, maybe you could go and see him, maybe you can help him out someday. But you know, I'm a big fan of yours, Steve, and you know, I'm always glad to come on the show.
Hey, big fan of yours. Thank you so much, Jerry. Please, you, everybody, stay safe, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
All right, man, you got it. Be well, Steve. See ya.
Jerry Dulac, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And also, you hear him on the Steeler broadcast as well. By the way, we will be carrying the NFL draft tonight, courtesy of CBS Sports. And so we'll have that tonight. We do have right now somebody internally looking at the streaming numbers. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online sales now available at Sunbury Motors. Great sales staff, great product, and some great deals. Check it out. And also, the Sunbury Motors Service Department, service parts, open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. I got a feeling that the old yellow light's going to be coming on pretty soon for the Valley here, based on what the governor's criteria was yesterday. I think most of the Valley, I think, lines up with that, doesn't it?
The entire Valley does, yep.
And so does Center County, by the way. Center, as I mentioned earlier, Center County has had no increase in 10 of the last 13 days. And the total increase on the 3 days where there were cases totaled 6. 3 1 day, 2 another day, and 1 another day. And it was the 1 and the 2 were on back-to-back days. The 3 was a couple of days ago. Center County is at 76 total. And remember, the county is 162,000. I don't think people realize how many people live in Center County. All right. So let's, you know me, I take it one step at a time. But I am also, as Matt knows, I am a diehard optimist. All right. So the draft is tonight. The Penn State... First of all, the Bucknell part of it, Alex Peachin is going to join us coming up on Monday. And at that point, whether Alex is drafted, if he's not drafted, he'll be a free agent with somebody. Alex can flat-out punt. He'll be in somebody's camp in August. All right, so he'll be with us on Monday. Alex Kozora, SteelersDepot.com, is on with us tomorrow at 4:06. So we have a lot going on, and then we're going to start getting the Penn State. You notice we have not had Penn State beat writers on the show because we've been so much draft and coaches teleconferences and things like that. We're going to get some of the Penn State beat writers coming on in the next couple of weeks as well to start getting a feel from them from all the information they gathered from the various coaches that we've played for. You've heard the coaches directly. And, of course, on Saturday you heard James Franklin with me and you heard Sandy Barber with me. So it has been a steady flow, but that's one that we deliberately put off. We deliberately put that off. And then we also have to get into what, you know, there's going to be a couple things going on, too, a couple side notes. One is, tomorrow's the 24th. I'm expecting tomorrow, at some point, a recommendation from the subcommittee, the NCAA, on the ability to transfer one time and be eligible for the school right away. Now, I'm expecting that recommendation tomorrow because tomorrow's the 24th. Nothing yet on name, image, and likeness. So we have to keep an eye on that. We also have to keep an eye locally with State College of Williamsport in this mix on what is going on with the Major League, Minor League Baseball negotiations. I want to point out something very quickly about that, that I don't think a lot of people realize or understand. When you hear that the New York Penn League is on the block as part of the reduction of 42, okay? When you hear that, the automatic thought is, oh my goodness, they're done. I can understand why you'd think that. But here's what you may not realize. Nobody knows who comprises the 120. Just because your league survives doesn't mean you survived. And I'll give you an example. Brooklyn, for example, the Brooklyn Cyclones, who are in the New York Penn League, are going to survive. The reason they're going to survive is the Mets have already indicated they're going to make them, I think, their double-A team. I think. It's either full-season single-A or their double-A team. So they're going to make it because the Mets have chosen to allow them to make it. All of these deals in minor league baseball are 2 years with affiliates. Thus, all the deals run out September 15th. All the deals run out. I don't care whether you're the Reading Fightin' Phils, Lehigh Valley, Williamsport, State College, your deal is up. Now, the Fightin' Phils have an advantage. I believe the Phillies own the team, right? So since the Phillies own the team, I think they're safe. Okay, I don't think that's an issue. And we know Lehigh Valley is safe for obvious reasons. I mean, the Phillies have a great situation in having their minor league team so close to them. They may elect the Phillies. Say they go with the 120. They may elect to have their single-A team in Williamsport because they like the proximity of it. The Cardinals, for example, may elect to have State College be their full-season single-A team because they love the facility. The Cardinals have been blunt. They love the facility at Medlar Field, Lebronto Park. And a big part of this happened to be minor league facilities. For example, Auburn, Batavia, and the New York Penn League, their facilities are exactly what Major League Baseball, with all due respect to two fine towns. And I've been to Auburn a lot, and not just for baseball. I mean, I had an aunt and uncle that lived in Auburn. And I've been to Batavia to do games. The towns are really nice, beautiful places. The problem is neither ballpark is up to standard. That's what Major League Baseball is trying to get away from. Medlar Field, Lebronto Park is not that. So just because you're hearing a league is eliminated, that doesn't necessarily automatically mean the club is eliminated. Nobody knows if they go with 120. That's if they go with 120 in the minor league system, which, by the way, would exclude the Florida teams. That does exclude the Florida teams. And the Florida and Arizona, okay, the rookie ball, the down there, the Florida teams that everybody has, the GCL, the AZL. The other 120, right? Nobody knows who makes the cut on that. Nobody. Just because the Midwest League goes doesn't mean every team in the Midwest League is out. There could be a couple of facilities in the Midwest League that are just better than somebody else's league. And part of it is, I mean, and you could set up new leagues. You could suddenly set up a new league where it is, let's just pick some towns here. State College, Williamsport, Aberdeen, Hagerstown, whatever, where the travel's relatively easy, and maybe a team in Wilmington, Delaware. I'm just throwing names out here. All right, and the travel's relatively easy. You call it the Mid-Atlantic League. So I'm just throwing this out. Just and again, the automatic thought is these teams are on the chopping block. The reality is nobody knows who would make up the 120 if it is decided it is 120. I know they talked yesterday, but I don't know how it went. So I thought I would just, I'd at least open the segment up with that. Just to lend a little perspective. Because right now, when it comes to this, I think there's too many. It's one thing that we're seeing in some sports circles is a lot of assumptions are made in reporting. We can't be making assumptions in reporting. Making assumptions in reporting, like taking, you know, that doesn't do the audience any service at all, making assumptions. And that's why, you know, we talk about, you know, what might happen to the college football season. I don't know. I mean, James Franklin talked on the show Saturday with me and then reiterated with Mike Tirico on Mike's podcast for NBC that you might need a six-week ramp-up. In other words, a couple weeks, you're by acclimated, then get to a camp, which lasts about 4 weeks. Well, if you're taking September 5th and backing it up 6 weeks, that's 3 months from right now. Well, let's see how everything plays out over the next 3 months. Let's see. To make the guess as to what it's like 3 months from now, 2 months from now, 1 month from now, is really irresponsible on our part. All right, we'll take a break. Wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hero.
Now, there was a little bit of Eagles news or rumor during the break. And Matt is yelling at me in the break. Not yelling at me, but yelling to me. About Andre Dillard, about Rasul Douglas. Hey, who's going to play left tackle going on because they might be trade bait, the whole deal. And he's yelling at me. He said, who's going to play left tackle? And I said, now this is my concern. Right, where I've got to be the concerned pseudo-uncle here when it comes to little Luke. Tonight during the draft, are you going to yell at him and have him look up with you with that adorable, confused look of, like, why is Daddy yelling at me?
Well, he's already been through one Eagles playoff game, which was 3 days into his life, so...
Well, it didn't go well.
Exactly.
I mean, no offense, but Junior's 0-1. Thought I'd mention it. 0-1. Oh, my goodness.
I am kind of puzzled, though, about Dillard being in these trade talks. And I know Sal Pal said that, you know, that there's some concern there with those numbers he gave. But it's a legitimate question. The only person I can think for the Eagles to put at left tackle if they were to trade Dillard away would be Jordan Mailata, who, to me, is still a pretty significant amount of being away from being ready to play in a regular season NFL game. He showed some progression last preseason before he got hurt and was put on IR for the year, but he's still got a long way to go, in my opinion, learning the game of football literally from square one, because this was the Australian guy from that played rugby. Eagles drafted him in the 7th round 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, this is not the deepest offensive line draft, you know that.
Exactly right. This is curious, though. But if it's just Rasul Douglas and you throw in a couple of picks, then it's obviously a no-brainer to move up to from 21 to 11 for a receiver.
Yeah. Just my concern is the yelling.
I'll I'll try to keep it at a minimum tonight. Hopefully, it'll be cheers.
I mean, the last time I heard that kind of anger was when Marco Andretti got cut off at the Indianapolis 500. And the guy I was working with says, I can't believe it. Now, and then he said, I can't believe we're talking about the Indy 500. The streaming numbers went down. Yes. What does that tell you? Oh, there'll be no Indy 500 to kick around this May. No Indy 500. This will be an Indy 500 free zone. Now, hopefully we'll be able to talk about it in August. I think it's scheduled for August 23rd. I do believe. You'll be getting a text momentarily confirming that.
Most likely.
That it'll be confirmed, yes, the Indy 500 has been rescheduled for August 23rd. They would never put it opposite a Shikellamie football game. Imagine that choice being made.
No, he'll just have the game on. He'll have the race on the iPad and kind of look up and down while doing the game.
What's the difference between that and any other Friday night? It's just too easy sometimes. Oh, it's just too good. And the Chief Dave Ritchie is laughing wherever he is right now. All right, Alex Kozora from Steelers Depot is going to join us tomorrow. We'll also break down the opening round of the NFL draft, which will start at 8 o'clock this evening. The menu, do we know what the menu is tonight? You said Stromboli's, right?
That is correct.
Ooh, that is good. Ooh, I love a good Stromboli. Ooh, so good. So good. Yeah. Boy, you know what really hurts, though, is that... Yeah, I was talking to Jerry. Jerry may miss the Masters for the first time after 23 straight. And I was talking about, looking, 9 years. I'd waited to go back to do the NCAA tournament. And, of course, obviously right to the doorstep and didn't happen. But the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, of course, had been scheduled for May 6th and got postponed. And I've had so much fun at that tournament over the years. I mean, because Steve Engel and Adam Purdy, they do an awesome job with that. But then you get to see Tom, all the Sunbury Motors guys. We go over to Penn's Tavern, which is just awesome. I mean, that's the greatest setting going. The food's great. The setting is
absolutely
unbelievable. Out there on the deck at Penn's Tavern. All right.
We had a gorgeous day last year, too.
Oh, it's perfect. I mean, Trey was there. Shane Conlon was there.
It was a very entertaining show.
Trey Bauer, Keith Conlon, Shane Conlon, all were there last year. And, in fact, that's when I found out. See, a lot of people realize, that's when they told me, Trey and Keith told me that I had been voted in as an honorary letterman for Penn State football. I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. It was in Penn's Tavern. I can remember exactly. I was exactly where I was standing. I remember when they told me. I was in such shock. And we had such a great time there. And then Corey comes over from Brewer's Outlet, and he brings stuff over. Obviously he knows how I love the pickles and the whole deal, but like so many other things I love over there. And I usually stop in on my way out, and it's like, it's just so many of these, like these little things that are big things you just miss. You just miss. I remember going over to Penn's Tavern last year, and there was a rock slide.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That closed part of Route 147. Yeah. Everybody had to take the detour to get down there.
Yeah, had to go all the way around. Now, I will say this about the detour. I went through some beautiful areas that I'd never gone through before. Gorgeous areas. I thought, wow, this is actually nice. Now, believe it or not, in getting out of there, I was able to get out of there because they had cleared the rock slide up enough where I was able to go through. But it's like you miss all this stuff so much. I mean, I've got a granddaughter whose 12th birthday is tonight. Man, my oldest grandson is, like your children or grandchildren, can't play Little League this year. Now, they haven't canceled the season here yet, by the way. They've just postponed it. They haven't canceled it. But those are like the little things. I'm the grandfather that shows up at all the stuff. You know, because you just want to be there for them. And it's like, golly, it's just so much. So much we miss. You know, and Jerry and I were talking about playing golf. And, you know, Jack always kids about Mike Wagner, about, you know, Mike playing on our foursome. Ron Moeller, of course, you know, is the president of Short Tears. And, you know, I said, so who's going to be there? He said, oh, Mike Wagner will be there. He says, you know, he says, he knew something was coming up. He says, you know, he's a hired gun. He'll be there. Mike and his wife are really nice people. You'd really like them a lot. But, yeah, it's just, oh, just all be thankful for our health. But it doesn't mean we can't lament what we miss. And, I mean, you know how much Tom and everybody at Sunbury Motors and Penn's Tavern and Steve Engel and Adam Purdy and Bonnie from the Susquehanna Valley YMCA, Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, the people at Susquehanna Valley Country Club with a chance to see you and see Mark. Is there anybody I'm missing? Oh, Kevin, I want to see you two and Craig Foltz and Dave Ritchie. I mean, it's just that, I hate missing out on that stuff.